Thank you very, very much for being here on a Wednesday afternoon. I'm Jane at the African Gender Institute. And for a while, we've been aware that we wanted to start doing more project work with people who are working as activists at the forefront of thinking about issues of gender, being women, being men, and issues of telling our stories, like what it means to have experiences that constantly get left out of mainstream news, that constantly, and if they don't get left out, they get retold as though they were everybody's stories. What I mean is that you might hear a story about somebody who'd escaped from a husband who wanted to murder her or hurt her. But somehow the way that that story would be told, it's like an every woman's story. It's like it comes like a stereotype. And we know that there are no stereotypes. Everybody's story is completely unique and also holds the seeds, we believe, at the African Gender Institute of understanding the world that we live in a way that nothing else can help us do. So we knew, for example, that Sally Jean Shackleton and Jenny Radloff had been working in different ways with different organizations. Sally Jean is now with SWEAT. And there is SWEAT sitting over there at the back. Yay, SWEAT! Working with what it means to tell stories in a particular way, and I'm going to say something about that way. And we also knew that at the Saraki Bartman Women's Center, there was a project in which people who were living here were invited to participate in telling their stories, again, in a certain way that I'm going to say something about. So we asked very shy whether, and it was shy. Shahina was here, and she can guarantee that I asked her shy if it was possible for us to create. That's it. You can see I'm a shy person. It was possible for us to create an afternoon in which those of us thinking about some similar things in very different spaces could actually get together and hear what one another is doing and thinking and use it as a platform for understanding what it means to tell about your life in a richer way. So we're very honored as the African Gender Institute to be here. And just a couple of things to say before we start. I'll tell you how we're planning to be together this afternoon. We have with us a couple of people who have small children, and we are very, very honored that they're there as well. Some of the stories that we show do have quite difficult material in them. I mean, you can imagine, we're not telling stories necessarily of happy days and romance and rainbows. So if the children are here, it's good to know that they may at least be words that are hard. But they seem very small and very happy. So, but just as a thing to say, the other thing is we would like to take pictures of people who are here. But is there anybody who would prefer us not to be taking pictures? What we do with the pictures is we would be putting them on our own website. But it is a public website, so that does mean that it's possible for, I don't know, President Obama to see you. Now, you might want President Obama to see you, in which case, this is your opportunity. But is there anybody who's got objections to that? Because we know that photographs are sensitive things and personal things. Is that okay? So then let's start the program. What we're going to be doing is showing you and talking about what are called, and you all probably know about this, stories that are in digital formats. In other words, they're created through e-technologies. And the reason that at the African Gender Institute we are so interested in this is that we believe that from our own experience, storytelling is really hard. It's really, really, really hard. hard, but if somebody says, tell me your experience, even if it's a small experience, you know, even if it's like quite a pleasant experience, how do you do it? How do you put all that richness into a shape that somebody else is going to get it, right? That somebody else is going to get both what's unique about your story and what's the element that you want them to take on board in terms of transforming their own understanding of being human, being alive, breathing, dreaming, sleeping, having jobs. What's the thing you want to share, right? That's a hard thing. How do you put somebody else in their own head? How do you download your brain and say, you want to know what happened to me? There, borrow my brain. How do you put it all? And some people say, no, well, it's good to write. Yeah? It's good to write. You must write your story. Yeah. Sure, it's good to write. What's happening when you write writing? Comfortable do we feel with putting down on a page our stories? Is writing something where we feel most ourselves? Yes. Some people know. But one thing that's starting to come into our spaces, more and more of us are working not so much with writing but seeing, where we're using what we see. It can be walking, it can be sitting, it can be there, it can be something. Somebody shows us a photograph. You know, you show somebody a photograph. This is the picture of my son. And you could write and write and write. My son is tall and he has blue eyes and he loves soccer. Actually, he hates soccer and da 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 da. And it still won't be your son. But visual material, material of the eyes, and it can move so fast. That raises a problem. Okay, so you get a photograph. But maybe you took the photo, or maybe you didn't. Who does it belong to? How do you control that story? And the thing about making the digital stories is that it tries to put the storyteller totally at the center of the process. So that the story which is told, even though it is short, absolutely captures the storyteller's desire, which is a precious thing if you then want to use that to understand better who you all are. So what we're going to do is show you three different kinds of stories. Sally Jean is going to start showing you a group of stories and talking about them. And then Irma from Zonky Bottom Women's Center is going to show some stories. And then Selena Modavan, who works at the AGI and who's a recent convert to storytelling, will show her story and talk about it. But because that's quite a fast program, right, we're going to divide it up. So first we're going to go with Sally and Jenny. They're going to show, and then we'll discuss, because we're starting out in these funny rows, but actually it's about everybody. Then we'll listen to Irma, and then we'll go to Selena's.
So my name is Sally. I work for SWET, and our media team and advocacy officer are sitting over there, so I have performance anxiety. And I'm not speaking from the perspective of someone who has perfected digital storytelling and the methodology that we've used, because every time you do a digital stories workshop, you learn something else, and you add something else, and you adjust how you do it, and you figure something else out. There are a lot of people in this room who've had experience of being a participant or facilitating or being involved in this kind of project. So I'm also really keen on finding out what your insights are and how you've experienced digital storytelling. My first experience in doing digital stories was in 2006. Women's Net is an organization that works with ICTs for women's empowerment. And we had participated in a workshop run by Sonke Gender Justice. Or no, it wasn't Sonke, it was in Gender. No, it wasn't in Gender. It was in Gender Health. Yes, it was in Gender Health. In Gender Health had gotten an expert from the US to come and train a group of people on digital storytelling, and they wanted to produce a DVD that they would then use for training. My colleague and I participated as, my colleague actually made a digital story, and I participated as a sort of co-trainer in the area. Although I'd never done digital story training before, I was there as a sort of resource person, I guess. Probably because I didn't have the courage to make my own story at that time. So after that experience, Women's Net decided that we felt capable of making or facilitating a digital stories workshop ourselves, and we raised money through the Foundation for Human Rights. And we embarked on a difficult project. The project basically brought together women survivors of domestic violence and sexual assault, together with lesbian women living in townships who'd experienced sexual assault because of their sexual orientation. So we had a group of fairly conservative women, and we had a group of young lesbian women, and we weren't sure whether those two groups would get along. So we decided to split up those two groups, but we decided also that we would bring the two groups together as a celebration to watch each other's stories right at the end of the project. And we discovered that, in fact, digital stories, the stories themselves are an amazing unifier. And this, we produced a book called I Have Listened, I Have Heard, which was a line from Zanele Moholi's story that's in this book containing this DVD. And we decided also not to put the stories online, but that we would make a book together with the DVD on how to use the stories in audiovisual and in human rights training. So the manual is basically how to integrate audiovisual materials into a training course, and what each of the stories might contribute to your human rights training. Because we felt the trainers, that these were sensitive materials, and the trainers need to know how to integrate them into their training. And we thought, we only printed 250 of the books and the DVDs, but they've really endured. We've heard from trainers who have used them and who say that they have been very powerful additions to their training courses, especially since there's so little original material for human rights training that's South African, that's local, that's in local languages. So that was my first experience. And since that time, we've done a lot of workshops, a lot of digital stories workshops through Jenny's organization, the APC, in partnership with lots of other organizations. So I'm going to kind of talk in general about that experience, and we'll hear from you as well. So the title of this, I've put Women's Net in the corner there because Women's Net has been so key in my experience of digital storytelling. And there's SWET's logo over there. So I wanted to introduce the topic by talking a little bit about information and communication technologies, ICTs. ICTs are sort of like a tap, where information is the water. So information is the essential resource that everybody needs. So let's take a piece of information like a 13-year-old girl can get a termination of pregnancy without the consent of her parents. If she herself, if that 13-year-old girl doesn't know that, she might do all kinds of things without knowing that in fact she can go without the consent of her parents, without speaking to her father, who very well might be somebody who would abuse her or be really angry with her. She can go to a clinic and seek a termination of pregnancy. But if she doesn't know that, all kinds of things might happen to her. So the essential resource is the information, and the TAP is the ICTs, the method through which that information will flow. And the quality, there are all kinds of things that you know already that will play a part in how a person can receive that information. The language that it's transmitted in, the quality of the information that a person is receiving, the intention behind the giving that information, the shape of the tap, the way that it works on a 13-year-old's hand. Can she actually turn the tap? Is it too tight, too big? Is there no top? Does she need a wrench to pull it open? So I wanted to just kind of introduce the use of ICTs by thinking about it in this way, that it's not a neutral tool, and it's certainly not a gender-neutral tool. And there's a picture of two taps on the screen. They are very different taps. They have different power embedded in them. The one tap is located outdoors. The children use it, have to haul water to their homes. The other one is inside someone's home. You just turn it on and nice clean water flows from it. And it's the same with information. Power is embedded in it. Gender relations are embedded in it. All kinds of things are embedded in ICTs and information and in all of the things surrounding that. I love this picture. It's my favorite picture. On the one side is a Hustler magazine, on the other side is a personal computing magazine. Can you tell the difference between them?
Just the name, yeah.
So I'm not sure what a woman wearing boxing gloves of all things on the front of a PC magazine would have to do with personal computing. So I wanted to show this also in the image of computing. When you're doing a digital stories workshop and women all show up and everybody's interested in using the computers, they're also going to deal with the machine in a way that they think, this is not for me, this is for somebody else, it's for a younger person, and her sense of control and possession over the tool is going to be affected by this notion. Okay, so what a digital story is. This is Women's Net's sort of working definition of digital stories. Everybody has a different notion of what digital stories might mean, and I'm just putting this up as our kind of working definition. So for us, the digital stories uses the original words of the person who tells the story. It's not interpreted, it's not modified, it's not mediated. We use our own chosen images. So either we go and choose images, or we take images, or we use images of ourselves, but the important thing is that the person who makes the story has the choice. With our hands on the technology ourselves, so we press the enter button, we control the mouse, we tell the story using the computers and whatever technology, we have access to it ourselves. So it's also learning about technology. Where the process of making the story is as powerful as the end product itself. It's important for us that everybody who participates in the digital story process feels a sense of pride and ownership and achievement and healing through the process, as well as the end product being something that others might think through, feel affinity for, and engage with. The process is careful, considered, it's healing, it's respectful, and it's conscious. Everything that you do has to be conscious, right from your choice of venue, to the machine you're using, to the technology you're applying, to all kinds of things in the process. It always needs to be thoughtful.